Praise God. Would you clap your hands unto him and bless his name? Praise God. We're going to read again this evening from Ephesians 6 and 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Paul is talking to us about the armor of God, and we've gone through a pretty good exposition of those pieces of the armor of the people of God. And here at the end of this discussion, he punctuates this with prayer, because without prayer, there's nothing in the kingdom of God. It is the oil by which it all runs. The scripture is very clear. It's not by might, nor is it by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And it's by prayer that you tap in to the resources of the Spirit of God. God bless you. You can be seated. And in this passage, Paul says, pray always. Everyone say, pray always. So it's a suggestion of continual prayer. When you find the people of God, you will find prayer. When you find a man of God or a woman of God, you will find a prayer life. You'll find somebody that's very, very attuned and accustomed to prayer. Someone's very familiar with prayer. And when he says, with praying always with all prayer, he suggests that there's different types of prayer. And we know that to be true. Praise and prayer are the same type of activity, but just in a little bit different direction or with a little bit different focus. But they open realistically the same portal for what business we're accomplishing with God. Here Paul lists prayer as a component of spiritual warfare. And Jesus taught in Mark chapter 9 that this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. There are some places you can't go in your walk with God without establishing that prayer life. It's not enough to have your name on a roll. It's not enough to attend services. I would go so far as to say it's not enough to pray in corporate prayer, because corporate prayer is very important. When we come together, as we've done here tonight, we accomplish some things that you can't accomplish by yourself. But I really do believe that our corporate prayer is only as strong and only as effective as our experience in personal prayer. Because when we get in those groups are only as good as the individual power and the individual prayer life that's represented there. Praise God. So prayer is broader than just spiritual warfare, and I don't want to minimize that, but it's broader than that. It is breathing in and out in the Spirit. It is communing with God. It is accessing the portal in which the traffic of angelic business between heaven and earth is going to be conducted. It's the place where the blessings of God come down, the power of God issues forth. Prayer is life itself in the kingdom of God. We talked about it a couple of Wednesday nights ago. Jesus prayed. Jesus is God in the flesh. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is the child that was born, the son that was given, so he's flesh, but he's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. So the Spirit within him is the creator God, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. The flesh on the outside was a vehicle, a temple, a tabernacle that he constructed within the womb of Mary for the business of redemption. But you'll notice that Jesus prays. And you don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar to understand that if Jesus does it in his flesh, then we should do it in our flesh. And we understand that he is without sin. He's tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. He is God and he is perfect. So what was prayer about for Jesus? Prayer is the dynamic or the mechanic of subjugation of the flesh to the Spirit of God. There is no way to overcome your flesh but by prayer. When Jesus said, this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting, I would go beyond that. I would add to that and simply say, there are places in your flesh and in your mind that you cannot have mastery over without prayer and fasting. There are places you can't go in the spirit without prayer and without fasting. And so prayer is the subjugation of the flesh. Much prayer, domination of the flesh. Little prayer, little power over the flesh. And the flesh is your problem. Amen. The devil's not your problem. The devil can't take you anywhere you don't want to go. And so the flesh is the problem, and you subjugate the flesh through prayer. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. So then, here are a few examples, and a little bit of this is review from the last time we were together. Matthew 14 and 23, he sent the multitudes away. He went into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Mark 1:35, in the morning, rising up a great while before the day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. Luke 5 and 16, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And you have to understand, what he does is effective. What he does, though, is also didactic. He teaches us by example. When Jesus was baptized, John knew he didn't need to be baptized. Jesus knew he didn't need to be baptized, but he said, suffer it to fulfill all righteousness. He was doing it to demonstrate death, burial, and resurrection, but he was also demonstrating it that you needed to be baptized. And when he's praying, he's teaching us about prayer. It came to pass, Luke 6 and 12, in those days he went out into a mountain to pray. You understand, these are all solitary places. These are all wilderness places. He goes out by himself to pray. Again, before you'll ever have a public victory, you will have a private victory. Before you'll ever have a visible monument or memorial, you'll have an invisible monument or memorial. Before you'll walk in the power of God in the natural, you will walk in the power of God in prayer. You'll find yourself a vein of the river of the Spirit of God. Tap into that, draw forth from that, and that alone will cause you to have power to overcome the things that want to destroy your life, your testimony, your family, your children, your ministry, the potential of God in your life. Prayer is going to be the life of all that you accomplish in the kingdom of God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Let's clap our hands unto him just for a minute here tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. So Jesus spends a lot of time in the desert, in the wilderness, in solitude. And the last time we were together, I characterized it as the aching loneliness of prayer. Your humanity, your flesh will feel the need to do something, to meet someone, to go somewhere, to be with someone. And people are more prone to prayer if you call a prayer meeting. But not if you do it very much, though. They're more prone to pray if other people are there to pray with them. They're as bad as Filipinos. In the Philippines, anywhere you wanted to send a young man, he always asked, but who will be my companion? And you'd see these two little Filipino young men walking down the street holding hands. Nothing funny about them. They're just, that's their custom. They walk down the street holding hands. Don't hold my hand. But that's just who will be my companion? But when you go off into the wilderness of prayer, it might be in your bedroom, it may be outside, it may be down in your basement, I don't know. I've almost broken my neck over Brother Cody Marks on several occasions. He found our air conditioner register. They lived with us about 4 months. He found our air conditioner register downstairs, and he would get down there, pitch black down there, cover up with a quilt, and he would be in front on that air register because he learned to pray in a closet where there was a heater intake, and that noise just kind of fuels his prayer. So that's what he's looking for. And I don't know he's there, and I've walked that path in the dark, and I never would turn on the lights, and oh, I'm tripping over a prophet, and I'm kicking him in the ribs while he's trying to pray. And I finally learned to delicately walk around him or to listen for the undertones of his murmuring and his prayer. But you've got to get by yourself with God. You've got to hear from God for yourself. Everybody wants a word from God. They want a prophet to speak to them or a preacher to speak to them. But I've got to tell you right now, nobody can speak to you as God can speak to you himself. There'll never be a word more precious. I've received wonderful words from elders in my life. I've received wonderful words from prophets, and I appreciate every word God's ever sent me, but there's nothing that is as alive in me and as powerful in me as word that's come directly from the throne of God itself, and I know it was God. Is there anybody here that's ever heard from God? You were in need, you were in prayer, and God spoke to you. I want you to know there's nothing more intimate than that, and what we're looking for is intimacy with God. Prayer brings you into intimacy with God. Prayer brings you into relationship with God. And I just want to stop for 1 second and say intimacy is where children are conceived, and intimacy is where seed is sown, and intimacy is where that relationship brings forth fruit. And we are the bride of Christ. And there has to be a bride that is willing to be intimate with the Lord. Well, somebody say praise the Lord. I don't mean to have an R-rated Wednesday night here, but this scripture is very, very clear about this. You've got to draw close to him to hear from him. And sometimes he won't speak to you in a crowd, and sometimes he won't speak to you from someone else, but he'll get you by yourself and talk to you about some business that he needs to conduct in your life. Praise God. Now, I remember probably 20 years ago, I came across a book called The Holiness of God by a gentleman by the name of Sproul. And he hooked me with the very first page, because on the very first page, he described something that I had experienced myself, and I connected with him. He was talking about one of those late night journeys where you get up in the middle of the night and you walk into a solitary place and you begin to pray as you have 100 times, and all of a sudden, boom, God is there. The presence of God is there. The holiness of God is there. And I don't know how it affects you, but I get goosebumps on my goosebumps. I get a flood that just starts running down my face. I don't cry very often, but when that happens, it's just like floodgates are opened, and it's not like weeping. It's just something that I can't very well articulate tonight. It's just, it opens up. I begin to weep, and there's something in my feet that wants to run. I don't mean run around the church. I mean run away from his presence, because it's this delicious terror. It's this wonderful horror of the presence of God. And I don't know if you've ever experienced that or not, but I will tell you this, that there are some folks that are afraid of drawing close to God in solitude, drawing close to God all by themselves, all alone in a solitary place. But you have to hear the mantra of the Word of God. Every time God appears to someone, fear not, fear not. Fear not. And because he's telling them that, because he's got to prop them up, because grown men are passing out. Grown prophets that know God are fainting in the presence of God or in the presence of an angel. And they're falling out. And there's something about our humanity that is shocked by the alien nature of proximity to God. But that's a place we have to go. And we have to be able to come into his presence closely and intimately to hear from God. But when you're there, there's a lot of superstition and there's a lot of fear surrounding deep and solitary prayer. But you need to know there are no biblical examples of people meeting monsters or demons or anything else like that in the scripture while they're in prayer. You're not going to meet some three-headed demonic creature in prayer. You're going to feel something that feels like horror if you get in there close enough. But you're not going to meet anything that is greater than the strength of God. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you, when you're walking in that stream, demons, that's the last place the devil wants to be. That's the last place a demon wants to be. When Jesus walked up in their midst, they said, "What are you doing here? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. Why are you here? Have you come before the time to torment us?" The demons don't want anything to do with the flowing of the power of God. That's why we want to come into the house with worship and praise. Dynamic praising and worship drives out every wicked thing, every evil spirit. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. So we do see, though, in the scripture, when you move into that place of intimacy, you have encounters with God. You have encounters with angels. You have encounters with the Word of God. And that's exactly what we're looking for. Now, I will tell you this, though, that when you move in those areas, you are moving out into a highly trafficked area. When you begin to walk in that area, you're walking in the arena of the gifts of the Spirit. You're walking in the arena where God can begin to move and bring forth the gifts of God in your life, begin to talk to you, and the Word of God can begin to have an effect on you that it cannot achieve without prayer. There's a lot of traffic there. That means you will hear things that are pertinent, and you will hear things that have no relevance at all. When you're walking in a spirit of prophecy, you can hear things that mean something, and you can hear things. It's like the dial on a radio, and you're picking up all kinds of frequencies, and you have to learn how to hear from God, because there's a lot of noise out there. And not everything that comes through as you're moving in that vein is going to be from God. And you've got to do that enough to learn what's you, what's clutter, and what's God. Has anybody here come to know the voice of God when you're praying or when you're reading or when you're seeking God and you can hear the voice of God? Praise God. Well, that's what God has for us, and it has to be that you put in the time to be able to delineate the voice of God. Praise God. So, as Jesus is praying in Luke 11, his disciples ask him to teach prayer. He's doing it as an example. He's doing it for the effect of subjugating his flesh. But they say, "Lord, teach us to pray," as John also taught his disciples. And this is a biblical model. When the teaching of the Sabbath comes to Moses, "You rest on the Sabbath because God rested on the Sabbath. What God does, you do." And so in this we see, as God is on the earth in flesh, he prays. And so as we are on the earth in flesh, we pray. Praise God. So, Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.'" If you're new to the things of God and you're new to the kingdom of God, you need to understand that prayer is not something that comes naturally. But prayer is something you have to learn. It's just like the culture of the kingdom of God. It's not something that comes naturally. If you stay like you are, when you walk in the door, if 5 years later you're just like you were when you walked in the door, you haven't grown at all. You haven't learned much anything at all. Living for God is something to be learned. The culture of the kingdom is something to be assimilated or learned. Prayer is something that has to be learned. He's praying in a certain place. One of his disciples said unto him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." Now, I've got to tell you this. I see very clearly in the scripture, you can see it, very obviously in places like the book of Judges, God's people are blessed, and in their blessing they forget God, And when they forget God, God sends an oppressor to them. And when he oppresses them, they cry out unto God. And when they cry out to God, he hears them. And when he hears them, he blesses them. Now that goes on for 400 years in the book of Judges. That's what that book is about. It's the cyclical experience of man when he's blessed, forgetting God. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, when you're blessed, remember God. You don't want to forget God when you're blessed. But I do want to tell you this. He loves you too much not to hear from you. And if you will not come to him and talk to him or call him up, he will give you a reason to come to him or call him up. You can't, if you belong to God, you cannot ignore God, because he's going to touch your life. And it may not be in a happy way. It may be in a painful way. Everybody wants to pray down at the emergency room. Everybody wants to pray down at the ICU. My God, I think it's possible to walk with all the blessing of God and have a good and a healthy prayer life and praise life and walk in the blessing and be a blessing, which is the ultimate goal of God for you. That's right. Praise God. So, at any rate, he said, when you pray, say this, Our Father, which art in heaven. We touched this last time. When you begin your prayer, look at what he does. He reminds you that you are part of the body of Christ and that God is your Father. We have a familial relationship. It doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done. He said, when you pray, pray like this. I'm a part of the body. Father, I have a relationship with God, which art in the heavens. It makes you look up. I will look up into the heavens unto the hills from which cometh my help. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. Dragging Abraham out of the tent and saying, look up into the sky. Count the stars if you're able. This theology of looking up is all through the scripture. And so in your prayer, don't let your prayer be an exercise in moaning and mourning and trouble and counting all the things that are wrong and all the trouble. There's a time for repentance, and there's a time for mourning, and there's a time for travail. But in your daily prayer, you need to follow this model, and you need to open up that prayer with praise and magnification of God. It says this. It says, I've got a problem, but God is bigger than my problem. I've got trouble, but God is greater than my trouble. When you lift up your head and you open up that prayer with praise and magnifying God, you're saying, whatever's happening in my life, God is more important than all of it. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's clap our hands unto him. Praise God. And then, hallowed be thy name is praise. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. This is a pattern. This is a template for prayer. Then give us this day our daily bread, and then forgive us our sins. So you tell me, what is God interested in? There's a lot of things that come before repenting over your sin. Sin is a problem, but I want a greater problem is not being in the presence of God. He's going to take care of sin. We're going to have a period of repentance. But before you're going to do that effectively, you have to be in the presence of God. So I know you're not perfect. God knows you're not perfect. He knows when you've sinned. He knows when you've fallen. He knows when you've not been faithful. But you've got to bring that into the presence of God. And the only way you can do that is through praise and thanksgiving. You enter into his courts with praise. You come into his presence with thanksgiving. And God will do business with you on those terms. Somebody say praise the Lord. And so we're going to take care of sin. But you notice he lets you ask for provision before he has you repent of your sins. What a gracious and merciful God. What a good God. Now your sin, he's not diminishing the importance of sin. He's just telling you, you've got to be able to come to me with an open heart and expectation before we're going to be able to do anything at all about this sin. And you need to learn, you have to learn that, because you'll become condemned, and condemnation will shut down your praise, and condemnation will shut down your prayer. You won't want to talk to God. You know that in the natural. When you've offended somebody, when you've said something bad about somebody, or you failed someone, you don't want to talk to them. They're the last person you want to see right now. And prayer and praise is like that. But you can't get better with yourself all bowed up. And you can't get better with distance from God. You've got to bring all your trouble, all your brokenness, all your failure. And this is especially true for people that are new in the kingdom of God. But it's still true for people that have walked in the kingdom for a long time. Because after you've walked it a while and there's an expectation that you have a testimony and maybe you're in leadership or whatever, then you really feel the power of condemnation. But whoever you are, whatever your tenure is, you've got to have the courage to bring it into the presence of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Because the worst thing in the world is sin that we don't take care of. Sin that's cluttering up your prayer life. Sin that's keeping you away from the ministry God's called you to. Sin will cripple you. Sin will kill you. And it'll eat away at any victory that God wants to accomplish in your life. All right. So here's a basic template. You need to have, if you don't know how to pray, you don't have a prayer life, you need to have a system of prayer. He gave you that system in this Lord's Prayer. In my daily prayer, I enter in prayer of thanks and praise. I spend a great portion of my prayer time in praise and in prayer. And I go down a long list thanking God for every good thing in my life. I thank him for the Holy Ghost. I thank him for the name of Jesus. I thank him for the Word of God. And when I hit on those things, I elaborate on those. His Word never fails. His Word is the seed of life in my. And I go through all of these things. The name of Jesus. Name above every name. The name at which every knee bows and every tongue confesses. You say, well, why are you doing that? I'm doing that because I'm thankful for the name of Jesus. And I'm praising him for the name of Jesus. But it does something else. And God is very wise. He knows what he's doing. Every time you do that, if you do that on a daily basis, the name of Jesus grows to be a monument in your mind and in your spirit. And every time you do it, it reinforces how powerful that name is in your life. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And so after I've thanked him for all the heavenly things and the things concerning his word, I thank God for my wife. I praise God for my wife every day. I thank him for a friend and a companion and the years he's given us, the children he's given us, and the beautiful grandbabies he's given. I thank God for his idea of marriage. I thank God for our home and our family. All of those things are God's ideas. Why do you do that? Because I'm thankful for my wife, and I'm thankful for years, and I'm thankful I'm not on my fifth wife, and I'm thankful that she's not an idiot, and I'm thankful that... Amen. I'm thankful. Do you remember Nate Wilson standing in this pulpit or over there in our other building? And he said, aren't you glad that your pastor's wife is not a Looney Tune? And I just shouted. I said, praise God, I am glad she's not a Looney Tune. Amen. Yeah, you say, well, why are you doing that? One, because God says, be thankful. And these are important things in my life. But what am I doing? The impression every day gets deeper and deeper. And not only do I thank him for her, but I, at that point, pray for her. God's strength in her life, God's blessing in her life, all of that. But it gets deeper. It builds an impression in my life. I want to tell you something. That when you pray for people, it's hard to hurt those people. When you pray for people, it's hard to betray those people. Those people become very powerful in your mind and in your thinking. Those things become so very important to you. And so we handle them over and over again. When we come to the house of God, we sing the songs over again. We talk about the themes. We open the book. We pray the prayers. We say a lot of the things over and over again. It's very rare for you to hear a preacher preach about something, if you've been around for a while, that you haven't heard before. But you know what? We love it just as much the 100th time we hear it as we loved loved it the first time that we heard it. Why? Because we love the things of God. Because we recognize they are important. What are we doing? We're making impressions in our mind and in our spirit. What prayer does, a lot of things. But one of the things prayer does, it conditions your mind. It conditions your thinking. It conditions your spirit. And when you come out of prayer, and when you've had a long journey of prayer, you are not the same as you were when you first began to pray, because it creates, it's like water running through solid rock. Eventually, water will cut a course through solid rock. Eventually, water will make its way and design some sort of a entry and exit in that, and you'll have a system like that in your mind and in your spirit as the Spirit of God, like water, flows through your vessel. Prayer does that. Prayer does that. And you can't walk in places you need to walk until you walk in prayer like you need to walk there. We've got to stop. Somebody's made supper for us on the other side. And some of these Wednesday nights, it's a snack. Some of these Wednesday nights, it's a bowl of soup. But the idea is fellowship. Acts chapter 2, they continued in the apostles' doctrine and in prayer and the breaking of bread and fellowship. And those are the things that we're doing on Wednesday nights. If you're glad for God and the privilege of prayer tonight, let's give God praise and thanks and bless his name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, we praise you. God, we worship you. Ah, blessed be the name above every name. Praise God. It is so good to be with you on a Wednesday night. And I want, if you're a guest here, I want everybody to come over and have a time of fellowship with us. And it'd be great if you'd sit and talk to somebody you don't even know. Hi, my name is Barney, and I want to... So just, but if you're not, well, I know Barney's not here, but